That was awesome, Kenneth. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Fits so perfectly into the message today. That song just fills my heart. And it reminds me that we are living in extraordinary times. Don't you agree? Some say we are at the greatest turning point thus far in the history of civilization. In between understanding ourselves as a small creature of the earth, limited to our five senses, and discovering our true cosmic size nature, we're just beginning to understand that the soul is a cosmic force that commands matter. This is the power that is emerging now all over the world. With this power, we can challenge ourselves to carve out the world of the future, the world we want to see, the world we want to live in. So, how do we develop this power within ourselves and live from it to shape the world of the future? The popular Unity minister, Eric Butterworth, said many years ago, "There are great moments in the history of the world when a prophet or a savior appears with a great cosmic insight that they are able to impart to people with a persuasive power and beauty. And there are great moments in the lives of individuals like you and me when we come face to face with such a cosmic insight, when it becomes clear and convincing to us, such an insight and truth must not only be spoken, but to have authority. It must be lived by the person who speaks it. It must become a transforming power in the daily lives of people who work with it. And of course, one such divine example of someone who did this was our way shower, Jesus Christ. The transcendent message he brought to the world is what we call the new insight in truth. I've always felt that religion put too much attention on Jesus' divinity and not enough on his humanity. And this is never to question his divinity because I believe that he did discover the divine depth within himself, but he discovered it as a depth within all persons, including you and me. Have you ever watched the old Turner classic movies from back in the day where they actually had people that operated elevators in tall buildings? People would enter the elevator and the operator would say, "Going up," and people would give them their floor number. I want you to imagine right now that you live in a 12-story apartment building on the first floor. You can't leave that floor to go outside the building, but you can hear all the noise of the city outside. Your world is small and tight, loud, and earthbound. The person who lives in the penthouse has a totally different experience. They can't leave their floor either, but they can look out their picture window and say, "What a gorgeous world we have. I can see green fields, mountains, water, the sky. It is quiet and beautiful. How blessed are we? You would never know that the you on the first floor, with all the street noise and grit, shares the exact same address as that person in the penthouse. Now let's say that each of the floors in that building represents a level of consciousness. Just as in a high-end condo building in New York, it costs more to live on the higher floor. However, in this analogy, the cost of going up a floor isn't in dollars, but rather in the willingness to see the world more accurately, more authentically. And living on a higher floor in this example is more expensive emotionally and psychologically. The first floor for everyone is our survival floor, the world of our intuitive or gut feelings. This is the base level of our human nature. And the first thing we do here is organize power, and we do it through ritual. As a group, we organize what we believe about how God will respond to us. This is what religions do. We say, God needs this ritual, and if we do this or that, God will answer our prayers. This is what we hear so much about in the New Testament regarding the temple priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. They lived on the first floor, or the survival floor. The nature of God is consistent and unchanging, and so we organize ourselves into that system. How many of you have rituals that you have to do because that's just the way it's been done? How many of you have superstitions or talismans or good luck charms, or have beliefs based on what is said runs in your family? This is what I'm talking about here. But eventually we sense that there has to be something else, something more, don't we? We're drawn to start looking for that staircase up to the next floor, so to speak. And this isn't ritual. It's how you manage the nature of your own individual power. You begin to wonder, why did certain things happen to me? You may realize they happened just because they did. They just simply did. So now what? Do you think someone's going to undo it or repair it for you? It's very hard to accept sometimes, but there's no one else who can make what happened not have happened. It's not the same as when we were children and our moms could put a Band-Aid on our boo-boo. When you realize this, that's where you begin your spiritual life, starting a dialogue between you, your soul, and God. And the second floor is the beginning of the spiritual path. There you start asking yourself, why don't I want to let this go? Why do I hold on to all of this? And wouldn't it be lovely if we always wanted to be healed, that we always wanted to be whole and healthy and honest? But in our human skin, this isn't always the case. People may not realize it, but what they really want is to hold on to what they have, to not embrace change. They don't maybe want to heal. To truly heal requires an extreme dedication to what we call in unity, our inner work. And when my husband John made his transition several years ago, I questioned for the longest time why he wasn't healed. I sat listening for the answer in prayer, meditation, and the silence. And what I finally realized that brought me great peace is that in making his transition, John had chosen his ultimate healing in mind, body, and soul. He let go of what he had for something better. The true spiritual path is taking on everything about you that you know deep down is not true. We may seek outer methods to aid us in our climb up the spiritual staircase, methods such as medicine, massage, Reiki, or yoga, but finding truth with a capital T is the spiritual path. There is a Bible verse in John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's take this to heart and believe it. It's natural to want to turn back to the ways we're accustomed to because it just feels safe. But we're not allowed to look backward for guidance. We've been there and it's over. If it was still supposed to serve us, we would still be there. We must stay in the present time, what we call in unity, the eternal now. That marriage you left, or that job where you got laid off, or even that first floor apartment you lived in doesn't exist anymore. You have to find a new creativity, a higher consciousness, because the old one is going away. The chaos we each may experience psychically, emotionally, physically, and spiritually is all part of a huge evolution. A new kind of spirituality is emerging, and it has the power to unite all of humankind in oneness with divine creative energy. Each of you is a huge resource of human creativity. I have witnessed this already as your minister of record. You're here not to take, but to give and to discover your endless, powerful capacity to heal, to have compassion, to love one another. Look around you, just look around you and witness how you have collectively transformed your meeting space in a very short time. And this is a physical testament to what I'm talking about today. Taking this creative energy out into the world, we have no idea what we can do for others. But we can know, no matter where we are in life's journey, we are held in the love of God. He raises us up. We stand on his shoulders. We might begin by being aware of how often we may hesitate to love somebody, how often we may punish people by withholding our love. Our awareness of everything we do and the intention with which we do it matters. This awareness of our intentions is what shifts our consciousness and that of the world around us. This is what Mother Teresa wanted to convey when she said, "Do small things with great love." By being available to each other in this way, for one another, and in the world around us, we express the living Christ presence within each of us. I believe we have to get up every day and say, "Lord, this day of my life will never come again. I stand here as your servant. I am listening and I am ready." This makes space for spirit to do its work in and as you. This is how you work your way up through the different floors of consciousness and get to the gorgeous penthouse view. We are love and creativity in expression. We are making a new way for new thoughts, new things, new ways of being each and every day. Feel the power of your divine depth and live from it every day. And know that from this consciousness, you can change the world. You can change your life one day, one intention at a time. And so this is. Amen.